I was glad when they said to me,
"Let us go into the house of the Lord."
O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may know and understand what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life.
Amen.
Lord, open our lips.
And our mouths shall proclaim your praise.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Come, let us adore him.
Reading from Genesis. The Lord said to Abraham, "How great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh,
A reading from the letter to the Colossians. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision, by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. The word of the Lord.
Traveling through this world below.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Good morning. Those hymns that we sang, they are moving. Did they move you? Oh my gosh. What wondrous love is this? And then the wayfaring stranger. It gets inside of you. What is that saying that singing is praying twice? It just a beautiful song, especially those two that have a kind of tradition and folk history and tradition. I mean, whoever composed these songs, I mean, I know it's listed here, or is it anyway? They are written out of experience. And there's something about music that gets behind enemy lines quickly. Enemy lines being all of my intellecting and resistance and questioning. All of a sudden, I'm moved. It's kind of beautiful, in essence. That's the whole message, I think, of our passage. I mean, what else could we possibly learn from this, right? The Lord's Prayer. Teach us how to pray. I think you'd be mistaken if you think he actually answered the question, Jesus, in terms of how. Depends on what you think of prayer. I think of prayer as intimacy with Father, with God, with Dad. And to be intimate with Dad is that I know Dad and Dad knows me. When I first read this passage, I've read it before, of course, but to reflect on it for today, I thought of two things. I thought of a poem, and then I also thought of this scene in a completely irreverent movie called The Life of Brian. 1979, it scandalized a lot of people, I think in Britain, it was forbidden to be shown at certain theaters. And it's about Brian Cohen, who happened to live next door to Jesus, where he was born, and then everyone mistook him for Jesus. But there's this one particular scene where they're all listening to Jesus, the real Jesus, I believe, repeating and teaching from the Sermon on the Mount. And one of them says, what did he say? And he said, blessed are the cheesemakers. And then he said, but don't be so literal. He means anybody dealing with dairy products. I mean, it's funny because I feel like the disciples are a little bit like that. Like we underhear things, overhear things, mistakenly hear things. Now, the other thing that came to mind is a poem by Marie Howe entitled Prayer. Every day I want to speak with you, and every day something more important calls for my attention. The drugstore, the beauty products, the luggage I need to buy for the trip. Even now, I can hardly sit here among the falling piles of paper and clothing, the garbage trucks outside already screeching and banging. The mystics say you are as close as my own breath. Why do I flee from you? My days and nights pour through me like complaints and become a story I forgot to tell. Help me. Even as I write these words, I am planning to rise from the chair as soon as I finish this sentence. So like the disciples, we are endlessly distracted. We seek comfort and we fear the unknown. So when the disciples said, teach us how to pray like John taught his disciples, actually there's not a whole lot. There's virtually nothing in Scripture that tells us what John, you know, how he taught. There are certain prayers, of course. I guess it could all be summed up in he prays for that we would prepare the way for the Messiah. And I think a lot of times, I mean, I remember growing up in the church, learning the Lord's Prayer and thinking that was quite an accomplishment. And then we just sort of beat it to death, thinking that we're praying. I'm not saying you're not praying, but I'm just saying repeating something endlessly. I think it was Simone Weil, the Jewish mystic who always longed to be a Christian, but she said she didn't. It's a long story. She said anybody who could actually say the Lord's Prayer with some intention, like when you're looking at somebody who you actually do love and you tell them, I love you, and there is no kind of hesitation or separation. If you could say the Lord's Prayer at that level, it's like the earth would shift, perhaps. There is this phenomenon called, I don't know why I know these things, semantic satiation. If you repeat something endlessly, it you can render it meaningless. It's just a linguistic phenomenon. And in part, when we come to this approach, to this passage, it's easy for us to go, okay, I'm going to get this right. You know, God's holy kingdom's coming, all that kind of stuff. And I'm going to memorize this. When they said teach us how to pray, I think they were sort of, they had noticed that Jesus had gone off and prayed before. Maybe it was not what they were used to in the synagogue with prescribed prayers. Somehow Jesus was doing something different. And I think Jesus was a lot less explicit. He wasn't saying, take notes. He was just hanging out with these people. And at one point, it kind of came to a head, perhaps, that they ought to be a little bit more intimate with what Jesus was doing when he went off. So they said, teach us how to pray. And to bring some urgency to the table, just like John, he did it, you should be doing it too. And he said, all right, say these things. And I don't think he meant necessarily to just repeat it ad nauseum, but I think he was saying, these things are elements that will be important for you to hold in your heart. You know? As a writer, I have certain rules in a way that I think about in terms of how to have fresh writing, you know, maintain the right pitch, relish every word, be simple but go deep. And just because I memorize that stuff doesn't mean I'm doing it. Just because you know your name doesn't mean you know who you are or your address and you're necessarily living there. So there's a way in which he was putting things on the table that are important to be aware of. And then he tells that story about being demanding. So there's this companionship going on between these are the elements of life with God as I enjoy him and he enjoys me. I want to get my pronouns right. She can also be put in there. And then there is a way in which, since our default is always anxiety, that we're going to have to push through to actually enter into the kingdom of God that he's talking about. I feel like it's very complex, you know. It's not an easy thing. I've been reading this book called Can't Hurt Me. The only reason I've been reading it is a friend who is a personal trainer. She said, you need to read this book. And when I saw the cover, it had a military person on it, and I don't want to read that because I grew up in the military family. I know what it's going to be about because I've heard that lecture 50,000 times. Turns out I had known nothing about what this was about. And I can't quote from it because of the language. he's a Navy SEAL. Apparently they talk a certain way. But the insight is powerful. And he is actually, I'm not saying Jesus, I would never suggest that Jesus treated his disciples like Navy SEALs. But just like David Goggins, there is a default of wanting to be comforted and to live in convenience. It's maybe why Jesus at one point said we have to be born again. He was using an analogy that says there's this way in which you've settled in and you're going to have to become this new person. So be mindful of these elements that God is holy. In other words, he is both a part of a different realm, but he's available to you and you can approach him as a child and he your father. That there are, you know, what comes with that is this new order of kindness toward one another, of forgiveness, of sharing, and things like that. But then he introduces that parable about, you know, banging on the door and making your friend do what he knows he needs to do, which is share the bread. And then the most troubling part of all of this, I think, is that last part where, you know, whatever you ask for, I'll give it to you. I've had personal experience where I didn't feel like he did give me what I wanted. But that may have had something to do with me living inside of this other, more need-based, individual kind of reality. There was a moment in my life where I really was getting tired cutting slack for God on that issue. I know your ways are more complicated than mine. So probably you're giving me what, and then I'm probably like, no, wait a minute. I don't think we are really connecting at an intimate level. But I think when I go back and I learn the character of God through the Lord's Prayer, and I let it kind of absorb into me like these hymns, I begin to practice my behavior heading in the direction of that deeper insight, I think little bit by little bit I begin to start walking into the kingdom of God. Jesus never stopped to teach them how to pray. He had been teaching them how to pray ever since he met them. You know, when they're down at the shoreline, where do you live, master? And he says, well, come follow me and I'll show you. So they're not exactly sure where they were going. I think they sort of thought he was starting a political movement and they were on board with that. And then at the end of the gospel, he says, I live in you and you live in me. So it's all connected to their question, how to pray, which is intimacy intimacy with the Father. There's a my lifelong work, I guess you could say, is being preoccupied with this process of change. How to change myself, how to change others, to what extent can we change? And there's a book, I think I've mentioned it before, called Change or Die. We tend to think that if you threaten people, they'll change their behavior. Or if you give them the facts, you know, if you eat Big Macs every day, it's not going to go well for you. There, you have the facts. It's even on the little package. And we have such a hard time changing our diet. Or if you go to, if we lock you up for a certain amount of time, you're going to change your behavior. And that doesn't seem to work. So this journalist wrote a book called Change or Die. And he gave a bunch of examples. And he gave this simple little formula, which is relate, repeat, reframe. And many, this is a Jewish writer who ended up describing three different Christian ministries who seem to somehow have understood the genius of Jesus in this passage. The people don't find an answer or a book, they find a person that they can follow. And then they have to practice something beyond what their instincts and their fears tend to hold them hostage by. He talks a lot about this, about the difference between motivation and drive. We all get motivated to, you know, go change our life, and by this afternoon we forgot what that was all about. But there is an internal drive that I think the Lord's Prayer can start to set the stage for. And then the last is reframe. Relate, repeat, reframe. This is also a monastic recipe. It's personal. You find other people who are doing things in ways that can help you. You begin to practice something, and that can be anything from patience to, you know, I'm about to tell this person what that person needs to know. Okay, I'm not going to. And then reframing is, as you begin to do this over a period of time, your mind begins to shift. And you begin to understand some of the things that the Lord was telling us at these moments. It's a reframing. I can't think of an example. I mean, I remember the same hymns that we sang this morning when I was growing up in the Episcopal Church. I thought they were boring. Just boring me out of my mind. And I even told the priest that sometimes. And I think maybe because it's always with an organ, and I always associate organs with vampires. So it was all working against me. But then with some experience, I came to open up and grasp something much deeper. It's like you can get addicted to candy and you don't want people serving you food. But if you eat food, candy can be an interesting addition. So how do you reach toward food? How do you reach toward deeper music? That's what Jesus is really responding. He's glad they asked that question, but they wanted a simple answer. And he confounded that need for something direct and continued to invite them into what he had already been inviting them into, to relate to him, to relate to God, to relate to each other, to practice a new way of being with each other. And as that happened, their minds changed. I'm going to end with another poem, I love poems, by Mary Oliver. She mentions prayer in this, and this is a summer day, and this is entitled The Summer Day. Who made the world? Who made the swan and the black bear? Who made the grasshopper? This grasshopper, I mean, the one who has flung herself out of the grass, the one who is eating sugar out of my hand, who is moving her jaws back and forth instead of up and down, who is gazing around with her enormous and complicated eyes. Now she lifts her pale forearms and thoroughly washes her face. Now she snaps her wings open and floats away. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Amen.
Please stand as we affirm our faith in words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our God. He is
conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
The prayers of the people. We pray for all people. We pray for the nations of the world and for our leaders. We pray for justice and for peace. We pray for communities of faith, especially for this community. We pray for those in need, trouble, or poor health. We pray especially for Jim, JR and Courtney, Pat, Gail,
Priscilla,
Greg, Cindy, Joycey, Kelly,
Mary,
Pete,
Kat,
Xavier,
Becky,
Alexander,
Terry,
Dale,
Peter,
Marianne,
Kelly,
Holly,
John and Janice,
Nicole,
family of
Leanne Hampton,
Paul,
Margaret,
Jacqueline,
John and Jenny,
Zach,
Steve,
Kyle,
Richard,
Bonnie,
Amy,
Lori,
Cheryl,
Ellie
family,
Christine,
Cheryl,
Jimmy
and Dale,
Woody,
Lane,
Luke,
Bob,
Judy.
We pray for those who have died. We pray with thankful hearts for the many gifts and blessings of life. We are especially thankful for the beautiful flowers that remind of the ecological power of God, for all the love that goes into arranging them and placing them in front of the altar.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. hands and go. Oh, we were going to do the doxology, but I guess not. Okay. Let us pray. Oh God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you that the week to come may be spent in your favor. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive your supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry, they may truly and devoutly serve you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation,
for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessings of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for your disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience, by which he overcame temptation, for his dying, through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the strength of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him, at all times and in all places, may give thanks to you in all things. Amen.
Thank you. May the God of hope fill us with all joy and peace in believing through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.